All right, thank you for that. Welcome back to the show. Rick Tittle with you, nationally syndicated out of San Francisco and around the world on the American Forces Radio Network. It's our pleasure to welcome to the show Jake Peavy, one of the best major league pitchers of his generation, multiple all-star. He's got a couple of rings. He's got a Cy, a triple crown. He's in the Padres Hall of Fame. Of course, he also played for the White Sox and got those championships with Boston and then right here with the Giants. But we're here to talk about his musical prowess because he and Flan, that's right, the old third base coach, Bochy's guy, has been on the show before. He's a musician. He and Tim Flannery will be part of the Cookout concert series from Casey Turner featuring the Lunatic Fringe. This will be over at Hop Monk in Nevada, which is a great venue, Sunday, August 30th. So we got plenty of time to get this on our calendar. Jake, welcome to the show, and I'll just start off because I know you were a big part of Team USA. When you're watching the World Baseball Classic, does that just get your competitive juices flowing again?
It absolutely does. Good morning, Rick. I appreciate you having me on. I just left spring training and flew back east to cover this World Baseball Classic through my job here with MLB Network. And yes, a lot of people don't know, but I got to start the first ever game of the World Baseball Classic, exact matchup that was last night in Bank One Ballpark in Arizona. I pitched against Team Mexico, Adrian Gonzalez, Benji Gill, that manager, and a lot of great Mexican players were on that team. And it was I was very young and on a team with Ken Griffey Jr. and Roger Clemens, and just Derek Jeter was my shortstop. It was very surreal moment for me, and then got to do it again in 2009 and started a game in Canada at the Rogers Center with 55,000 in it that truly were highlights of my career. The two World Baseball Classic teams and getting to spend 3 weeks. You see what the news is around it. Tarek Skubal got in, and he's like, I can't leave this. This is impossible to leave. That's exactly the feeling. And over a 15-year career, you mentioned so many accolades and super sweet. Winning the championships, nothing could top that. Playing in that World Baseball Classic, we never won either year that I was there, so I don't know what winning felt like. But just the experience with the people, playing for your country. Everybody plays the game the right way. We put our egos aside and we play for the name on our front, not the back. Unfortunately, that doesn't happen every day in most baseball we watch.
Well, you know, it's funny because, you know, I'm a big fan of soccer and hockey, and I love international tournaments, and I was so excited for the first one. And there were some guys that are like, and like Mike Trout was in the crowd watching, and you know, it was Buck Martinez and then Davey Johnson, and it was almost like everybody gets into these routines in spring, and I do get it. And I know a lot of it is physical as you ramp up. Some of it is mental. And I know Buster's concerned about Logan Webb, and you mentioned Skubal. He's going to get one appearance, and then that's it. They got to shut him down. And I understand that. And this is, 11 days, very compact. But in my mind, as a non-professional athlete, it's baseball players playing baseball. You know, it's not like you're asking you guys to do something weird. So I always appreciate the people like you who actually showed up and put on the flag.
Well, it was certainly, when it got started, I don't think anybody understood that it could be what it is today in those games. I will tell you this, Bank One Ballpark felt there was a pro-Mexican crowd in that building that day, and it was raucous. In Team Canada, that place couldn't have fit another person in it. And even in 2009, there were moments that were huge. The Asian community out in L.A. in California were showing up to support Team Japan, who was showing that they could play with anybody. The players just aren't ready to play. If you could play this thing midsummer or possibly at the end of the season, Major League Baseball used to take a world tour to Japan every other year, every even year. Now, I've got to go on this in 2004, and it was right when the World Series ended. And so what players did as they finished the season, if you finished the season in a bill of health, you just stayed ready and played catch and kept your body in that shape throughout the World Series. And then right when the World Series ended, you had a couple workout days and flew over there. I we were ready to play in that scenario. So I think in the middle of the season, how they're talking about possibly the Olympic stuff happening, but I'm not sure. Spring training, these guys are just not built up and have the endurance, have the baseball grease under their belt that you do once you start playing in a season. I think Team Japan and maybe Cuba, a couple of these teams have been together for months doing it already. I can tell you this, the majority of our players, the Dominican players, the American players, and a lot of these guys coming off major league rosters are simply not at their best. They can't be.
Yeah, no doubt. All right. Well, I always loved pitchers who had a lot of, and you're not yelling at your teammates, you're almost like yelling at yourself. And like Grant Belfort, Jonathan Papelbon used so much emotion and fire on the mound. Now, are you going to bring that to Hop Monk on Sunday, August 30th, or are you a different guy when you're playing guitar?
No, I'm a big hippie, you know, and you know, people take me for a redneck, and there's some redneck in there. I can't run from where I'm from, but you know, most of my adult life, from 20 years old, I'm in Southern California, and then I went out my last three being with Flan and Boach in San Francisco. I can't tell you what just life-changing moments happened there on and off the field. And Flannery, who I'm playing with, he's my mentor, my older brother, my father-like figure at times, and just best friend who gave me the gift of music. So, and he's a big hippie, you know. So I'm very easy going off the field. That was just my job, and it was competition, and I was undersized to be there, and just kind of was an underdog the whole way through. And so I loved to compete. And when you got out there, it was about our livelihood. I was getting paid on it as you were against me, and I was trying to beat you, Rick, with everything I had within me, and a lot of times just trying to will myself for that to happen out there.
Well, just one more thing. I remember when you came to the Giants, you're like, "Well, I'm number 44," and they're like, "Yeah, that's stretch. It's retired." And you're like, "Okay, well, let's just go 43." And after a few starts, you're like, "Screw 43." 22, and then you started winning. I love that aspect of it.
Oh, man, when I tell you life-changing moments, I had wore 44 my whole career because I'm from Mobile, Alabama, and there's mm-hmm. two incredible 44s, Stretch and Henry Aaron, maybe the greatest to you know. But anyway, just two incredibly inspiring figures, and now I wear 44. Proudly. I don't publicly say this because I would never try to live up to what those guys did, but I certainly, it was in my soul. And you get traded to San Francisco. I'd wore 22 my whole upbringing and all through the minor leagues. Never had wore another number through high school, little league, because it was my father's number. And so when I got traded to San Francisco and quickly understood that I wasn't going to wear 44 and that I was, for the first time in my life, going to meet Willie McCovey, who was still living at the time, and get close with the, you know, Willie Mays. And I'm getting chills sitting here in the parking lot telling you this story. But now I ask for number 22. They say, Dan, I didn't really care and just said, you can give me the closest to 44. And that's how I ended up with 43. When I got to the team, Dan Ugla was on the team and he was wearing 22. I couldn't believe 22 was available because of Will Clark, right? But then I realized the Hall of Fame thing. And so now Dan Ugla makes a couple errors in the first start I made on Sunday Night Baseball. And unfortunately, cost his release. Well, when he got released, I said, give me that 22 jersey. I'm wearing that.
All right. Well, you know what? We got to run to a break. I could talk to you all day, man. I love these
stories.
Sorry,
buddy.
No. I got 20 more questions. We're out of time. Jake Peavy, Tim Flannery, and the Lunatic Fringe. Sunday, August 30th, Hop Monk, a great location in Novato. Jake, we'll have to have you on again. Thanks, my man.
Sorry, I was long-winded, Rick.
No, it's all good. It's good stuff. I'm Rick Tittle. Come on back on Byline.